Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to
and heads, let us run some people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
It's your time to rise and shine. Welcome, welcome to this December 3rd. We are in the number vibrating in the number 9 this evening. We're going to give birth to a renewed mind. Yes, a renewed mind, because it's so needed. We still have a war going on, bombing in the Middle East. It was a temporary ceasefire. But now they found a way to bring more hell into our lives, into the people in Palestine's lives. And then all over the world, we have people who just can't stop fighting and bombing and killing. So tonight, we want you to join in the discussion about where does the road to hell really begin? this is the thought that came to my mind as I reviewed the YouTube videos and the news and discovered that both Israel and Gaza or Hamas are back at it again. Boom, 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 boom. Sadness rose up, just questioning why. So we got a new battle. The war hasn't ended, but the battle ended. So now we have a new battle. And I want to suggest to us all that this is the time for a renewed mind. New battle, same old war, but we're going to renew our mind. And we're going to do it with the help of a man who was very influential in my life, Carlton Pearson. He's a bishop. He's a pastor. And for many years, I listened to this man's sermons and listened to his singing. He has had a beautiful voice, but he passed away last month, and they had a ceremony, a memorial ceremony for him this week, I believe, or last week. And just all the memories of my journey, not just with Christianity, but just my journey to become more spiritual, actually. Now, Carlton Pearson came from a background very similar to my own, the Church of God in Christ. That was my grandfather's church that he started in Olmsted, Illinois, a little town in southern Illinois. And I was in that town every year from the time I was born. As a baby, my mother carried me and my sisters on the train. We went on the train from Chicago to southern Illinois, and we stayed with my grandfather and listened to his preaching every Sunday, every Wednesday, whatever. And just, he was a beautiful man. And hearing about Carlton Pearson's passing just brought up all kinds of memories for me in the Church of God in Christ, my grandfather's church. Now, in Chicago, there was all Church of God in Christ is huge all over the country. It's mostly an African-American congregation, denomination. And they even had Emmett Till. If you know who Emmett Till is, his funeral was held at the Church of God in Christ in Chicago. So it's a huge denomination, and it just so happens that Carlton Pearson also came up or started in the Church of God in Christ. So I want to start tonight with a little history about this man who was just a beautiful soul. And he transitioned from the hell and brimstone fiery preacher to a man who was teaching about consciousness at the end of his life and who came to believe that there was not a hell out there at all. And I'm like, I'm thinking, after looking at Palestine situation and reviewing some of the hell that people go through here on earth, we're asking the question tonight, where does the road to hell really begin? And where does it end? And confidentially or honestly, where does the road to hell begin and end? We're going to ask that question. So I want to introduce, for some of you who may not know who Carlton Pearson was, I really want to take this time to introduce you to this beautiful soul who has now become an ancestor. And I watched his farewell ceremony or going home ceremony, and it was just a beautiful expression, dedication to a man who meant so much to so many people. Oh, just beautiful. And it's all on YouTube if you want to watch it. So let me introduce you to Carlton Pearson, whose ministry failed after he declared that hell didn't exist.
We're giving away free.
So we want you to take away from this show today a renewed mind. Please, we want you to have a renewed mind about your faith, your beliefs, and hopefully come to do something beautiful, loving, kind every day to offset the hell that is going on around us or in the Middle East particularly, so that we can make a difference, as Carlton Pearson did. I'm sure he made a difference in so many lives that's why I'm sharing tonight his transition from hell with fire and brimstone to, I don't think there's any hell. So here's the first of many audios that I want to present to you about this beautiful soul and the journey that we got to observe about him. And especially for me, knowing that he grew up in the Church of God in Christ, I feel a connection to him as somewhat of a brother. And we are all one anyway. Let's just take a look at Carlton Pearson's life, how he started being trained from his incarnation into this planet Earth, his training as a child all the way up to his transition last month in November. And may we all come away with a renewed mind and more of an awareness to what is our role on this planet. Because if Carlton Pearson could go through all that he went through and then transition into sharing his message with even more people, we can all probably improve, advance, and create for ourselves, for our own community, a similar environment of love and truth. The question we're asking is, who is the enemy? Who's the enemy? So here is Carlton Pearson starting off with a ministry explaining to us, or actually it's an interview that explains how he fell and lost everything.
Only On Two, Pastor Carlton Pearson will tell you that Tulsa is the city of his prime and of his crime. His ministry was a sudden and bright supernova before it burned out in a spectacular crash that left Pearson shattered for straying from the story as it had always been told.
But with the release of a new movie that documents his fall, Pearson tells Two Works View anchor Scott Thompson he's never felt healthier, happier, or holier, with a powerful second chance at finding a new kind of spirituality.
Things that I feel like God has called me to do is bridge gaps, not only between cultures and nations and denominations and people, but generations.
20 years ago, Carlton Pearson was a bright and shining shooting star, arcing across the sky of Pentecostal preaching.
You know what I'm talking about.
A suave, sparkling skyrocket of a man who mesmerized Tulsa's powerful evangelical community.
Rises up inside of you.
I lived that way. I had mastered the craft of it.
And a close friend of your parents.
A protege of Oral Roberts, a graduate of his university, he ministered to 5,000 followers every Sunday at his Southside Higher Dimensions Church, and with his Azusa conferences, to standing room crowds at the Mavie Center and the Downtown Convention Center.
I knew what to say over the pulpit. I knew what words they needed to hear.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
He was a regular guest on global Christian television, and because of his serious polish, he began appearing on mainstream TV, whose bookers saw him as a legitimate voice rather than a sideshow curiosity. He was named a regent of the ORU Board of Directors, counselor to presidents, part of the national healing after the Murrah Building bombing in 1995. And though Carlton Pearson seemed to have it all,
I kept feeling unsatiated, unsatisfied, and I didn't know why.
He became bored with everything he built.
It became tasteless to me. Didn't taste bad, it just had no taste at all.
And so restless and questioning as he approached his 50th birthday 15 years ago, Pastor Pearson began to listen to that which had been stirring inside him.
I came up with the conclusion that we probably got it wrong. And we misinterpreted that instead of the Bible being the inspired word of God, it's probably just the inspired word of man about God.
He began to preach inclusion, that everyone goes to heaven and that there is no hell.
I just couldn't reconcile in my mind eternal torture, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. It didn't make sense. And my experience of God was not that way.
But in turning his back on a spiteful and angry God, he unleashed the wrath of what he calls Christianity Incorporated. He was suddenly a mortal threat to the business of the Bible.
And so when something happens that threatens the community or the doctrine or the dogma or the tradition, or the cult belief, Everybody gets defensive.
His fall was to be quick and complete.
Some people just turn away from you. That's painful, but it's more bitter when they turn against you.
Other pastors began to attack. He was barred from Oral Roberts University and removed from its board. And its namesake, his mentor, the creator of the prosperity gospel, warned him that preaching inclusion would destroy everything they'd built. He was declared a heretic and would lose his home and his friends.
I baptized those people and counseled them and prayed with them and gotten some of them out of jail and been to the bedsides when they were there, when they were dying. And I just didn't think that covenant would ever be broken.
And as his congregants at higher dimensions began to flee, leaving him unable to pay the mortgage, he lost his church.
I just didn't think that would happen. But when it did, that's when I knew, wow, this is big and this is bad.
I want to ask you something.
It's his story of loss and redemption that's told in the movie Come Sunday, a sleeper hit of last month's Sundance Film Festival. Taking part in its production has been both cathartic and painful.
And did you love it?
Here we go again. A movie will come out. There'll be critics. My name will be used. The people who are angry at me will become angrier. The ones who love me will love me more.
And though a public mea culpa could get it all back and more.
I've had millionaires come up to me and say, if you change your message and go back to what you were, I'll buy you the property, I'll buy the building. We miss you, we need you, we want you as you were.
And when the devil knocks you back.
He says that Carlton Pearson is dead.
We love you at All Souls.
The reborn one, the newly energized one, is the Pastor Pearson who makes monthly Sunday visits to All Souls Unitarian Church in Tulsa, and the one who can now reach hundreds of thousands around the world from his living room with Facebook and YouTube messages. Messages, he hopes, that offer a new perception of God for the 21st century.
The message that we have received, for which we paid a huge price, has opened a whole new world for us.
It's the message he's convinced his mentor heard as the two sat together and Oral Roberts approached the end of his life.
But I convinced him, I think, and when I finished, he stood up, and there's a scene in the movie about he put his hand in his back pocket and he looked up to the ceiling and he said, I've listened very carefully to everything you said. Long pause. And I like what I hear. Man. That was as close to an affirmation as I was going to get.
And to an older, chastened, and yet happier Carlton Pearson, that now serves as quite enough.
I think there's so much more to God than we have tried to imagine.
Scott Thompson, Two Works for You.
It is a fascinating story. Come Sunday, we'll have a limited theatrical release, and then you can see it on Netflix April 13th.
So Carlton Pearson took the Most High Creator out of the box. And that brought much wrath against him in the Christian community. So we're going to look at and hear more about his life that I believe contributed to his cancer that eventually caused his transition. And some 20 years ago, I believe, he had I think he started out having prostate cancer. He recovered from that. In 20 years, he was in the ministry, probably prospering. And then more recently, he had bladder cancer. And I can only think that his wound, his deep hurt from the attacks by the Christian men and women who he fellowshiped with for many, many years contributed to that disease growing in his body. So we've got our sister tonight on Facebook. Zelda is joining us, our queen from Monday Morning Mindfulness. Says, grand evening, queen sister, looking forward to awesome show. The road to hell usually begins at home. That's right. That's close. That's what we're talking about tonight. Where does it begin and where does it end? And she says, when you go against tradition in the religious community, you will be ostracized by the entire community. People are comfortable in the church until you go against the grain. Sad but true. And that's what you're going to hear from Carlton's own mouth. Thank you, Zelda. And she also says, while working at Gospel Radio, 1390 AM WGCI in Chicago, I was reprimanded for sneaking and playing more of his music. Church folks stick together, not always for good. And that is what just what Zelda experienced. So imagine if you, for some 20, 30 years, that was your life, preaching, teaching, and talking about Jesus and being saved and hell and brimstone. If you don't get Jesus, you're going to hell. And then you have these moments, or this moment that he had where he said, this just doesn't feel right. And part of it was observing his grandparents who fell from the graces of the church, I guess. And he thought a lot about, well, are they going to hell because of what they did, because of the choices that they made? Well, that's what I want you to consider. Excuse me. Are you condemning yourself? Okay, that's not the one. But are you condemning yourself for some of the choices that you've made in this journey? Are you afraid that maybe you're going to hell? This is what started to bother Carlton Pearson. So we want to really look at, is hell real? And what does it mean when you transition from a tradition of religious programming and thinking? Whether does that mean you're going to hell? That's what many people are becoming sick about. The disease in many bodies is from the shame that we were taught growing up in the church. So let's listen to the voice of Carlton Pearson for a little bit and hear what his struggle was, what his transition was, how he woke up, and how we can also empathize, sympathize, and even identify with his journey, because we are all one. If you can really see the oneness in this journey that he took, then we can all begin to collectively send out the peace energy that's needed today in the Middle East, in our own communities, and especially in our hearts. So let's listen to some of Carlton Pearson's journey, questioning, is hell real?
I know I've been changed.
My parents had the devil in them. All my sisters and brothers had the devil in them. My neighbor was full of the devil.
He was a wildly charismatic, successful, fire and brimstone preacher who warned about hell.
You had to get them jumping and screaming and clapping and saying amen and crying, to get them to come to the altar, to get them to get saved.
He knew exactly how to inspire, how to work up a crowd.
But if you don't perform in that pulpit, you're a dead man.
How good are you at that?
I'm good. I'm one of the best of them.
But he lost it all. And it wasn't because he drank or cheated or broke the law. It was because of what happened inside. When he heard a new idea, an idea, he says, from God.
There is no hell as we have been taught.
He was declared to be a heretic.
They don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are going to hell.
A preacher who wrestled with hell on earth in this hour to hell and back. This is a story about hell. It's about the dark warning right here in the central text of American Christianity, the Bible. About Matthew's gospel with its fiery furnace where unbelievers weep and gnash their teeth. It's about Mark, who threatens the worm that does not die, and Revelation with its eternal lake of fire. Is any of it real? Does it wait for you and me? Or is it all the invention of some cruel pre-modern imagination?
Getting started. I'm just now starting to kick the devil out of my life and out of my home and out of my family.
You're about to meet a man who came face to face with hell, was singed by that fire.
Did you have any idea before you began to speak what events you were going to set in motion? Didn't have a clue.
His name is Carlton Pearson, and he lives still to tell his tale. But as you will shortly see, he may have lost everything. where our story unfolds. Sunday morning in the Christian churches of America. For Carlton Pearson's is a uniquely Christian story. Though its great central question is one with which all people must struggle someday. Maybe later, maybe sooner. What happens after? Is it certain, ominous, real?
Are you big enough to tell the world there is no help?
All murderers, all liars are on their way, shall be cast into the lake of fire.
Or a myth bathed in uncertainty.
Not everything is clear, and that's why we need the Spirit.
My parents had the devil in them. All my sisters and brothers had the devil in them. My neighbor was full of the devil. The devil was in that dog next door. The devil's in that cat.
Carlton Pearson learned about hell a long time ago, and he learned the lesson well.
I'm the fourth generation classical Pentecostal preacher, just like I was raised, same denomination, Church of God in Christ.
He was just a little boy when the bug bit him, or as he puts it,
because I started with a little trash can turned over to my two little sisters sitting out in front of me, a little when I was 5 years old, on the back porch of our home, preaching to them. Couldn't even read hardly. Church was our life. It's all I've ever known.
From the beginning, he was eager to please not only his parents, but also the members of the church. They were known as the saints.
I was afraid of their disfavor. But they did say, the hand of the Lord's on you, boy. The Lord's blessing you. Boy, you got something on you. You know, I heard that all my life. You're going to be something, son.
The Church of God in Christ is the largest black Pentecostal denomination in the world. Their services were exuberant. They waved their arms, they swayed, they sang, they spoke in tongues. And if their ministers lacked fancy credentials, they made up for it in a wealth of spirit.
The sophisticates in the big cities looked down on the Pentecostals and those holy rollers, they know.
Yeah, and we said those unspiritual, smug people, they don't know God, they're going to hell.
Yeah.
They need us.
They were too poor to be fancy.
We were so poor, the poor folks called us poor. No.
And too enthusiastic not to try to look grand. They taped sheets of colored plastic to their meager windows, pretending they were stained glass.
It was real popular in the ghettos, in a little inner city storefront churches. I'm going to get emotional again. It was so much for us to go buy this plastic. It's really ugly, if you compare it to this. We glued it on the windows. We see what this is. We never thought we'd ever get close to it, but we mimicked it. It was like a status symbol.
Yeah.
If somebody had that little ugly stuff up on their window, that's so precious to me, the mentality. We were so proud of that.
And something else. They were very serious about an issue some mainstream denominations often soft-pedal or avoid altogether, the question of hell. But in Carlton's church, it was central. It was the sermon every Sunday, the awful fate awaiting unbelievers.
We were told not to laugh. Stop all that jesting and joking. Quit that, baby. You know, we heard all that stuff. God gonna get you. The devil gonna get you. I thought so, but both of them after me. It was a quiet riot going on inside of us. Whether or not we make it to heaven. We loved God, but we feared him. Fear counterbalanced every emotion. So we had all that mentality, be good, be godly, be right, be holy. Or else what? Or else you go to hell.
In fact, for Carlton, it was deeply personal. His own grandparents, they'd been preachers once, but then they fell away, backslid, as Carlton puts it. His grandfather started it first.
He started chasing women and got involved in adultery repeatedly.
And then Carlton watched horrified as his own grandmother, her heart very likely broken, fell into sin herself.
Yeah, I heard her curse and she drank. I smelled it in her house and she smoked. And she played secular music and danced. The people danced in her living room. I saw it with my own eyes.
And they died.
And they died and they went to hell, as far as we were concerned. Now, you may have never had to say that, Keith. My grandmother's in hell.
It hurt. It was devastating. It made him angry.
What's the point of your life, was to keep people from hell?
Absolutely. It wasn't, we didn't come here just to worship God. We came here to avoid his hell.
And so, wounded now by the loss of his beloved grandparents, Carlton, barely in his teens, bent to the task of saving souls from hell.
Everybody rushed to the altar to get saved or resaved or whatever it took.
He was a kid who sparkled with promise. He was preaching at 15, ordained at 18, and then went to college. But not just any college. Oral Roberts University offered him a scholarship. By the time Carlton came to Oral Roberts, that great evangelist had claimed to heal believers by the thousands.
Come out! And they're coming out!
You knew him in his prime. He was just one step under the Holy Ghost for me. When I shook his hand, this man could clear his throat and I'd get chills.
So imagine what it was like when Oral Roberts himself recognized the promise of greatness in Carlton and took him under his wing.
It's the big, giant, human celebrity preacher. He was my mentor, and he told us to save the world.
Roberts, said Carlton, began to treat him almost like a son, clearly had special hopes for him. Carlton also developed his considerable talent as a singer. He traveled to Europe, sang on TV. He was good. But as a preacher, he had the magic.
You ought to say hallelujah!
His grades were not particularly good, mind you. He didn't even graduate from college. He was so anxious to get out and preach full time.
I was on the Board of Regents.
Yeah, and the Board of Regents of the university, but you didn't have a degree from the university.
Yeah, that's right.
It was 1981 when he started his own little church in a town called Jenks, Oklahoma.
And we packed that house out, that little room out in a month. It was jammed. Had traffic jams within 6 months.
I'd receive him into your life and be born again, and I guarantee you.
It wasn't long before he was preaching in Tulsa. His church growing so fast, he couldn't help but know how good he was.
You had to get the people happy. You had to sweat and shout and spit and get emotional.
A zeal to tear devils apart.
You got to deliver. And in my tradition, it wasn't just a good sermon. You had to get them jumping and screaming and clapping and saying amen and crying. But if you don't perform in that pulpit, you're a dead man.
How good are you at that?
I'm good. I'm one of the best of them.
So as you can see and hear, he says he was good, and he was good. I mean, in my young life, I so enjoyed seeing him. And I don't ever think I saw him live, but I sure enjoyed hearing his voice singing. And it was just so inspirational, and the music and the worship and the message was always really good. And today, as we realize he's now one of the ancestors, we have so much we can learn from him, and it's especially real for me, having had a grandfather who did that performance in the pulpit. And I'm just really blessed and grateful that for men, Carlton Pearson, who did not stay in the same place, he kept moving. So I'm going to continue this four parts to this in this interview that I really think is important for us to see and hear how this one soul came to know a different truth that is really hard for Christians to accept. And they call him a heretic and so many other words. But if you are open-minded, if you are seeking truth, you can't help but think, he had something. He had something there going. And he went to his deathbed at peace. So let us continue to listen to his story. If you have any comments, press 1 in the studio, or go ahead and make your comment in Facebook or YouTube, and I'll read your comments. But let's keep going. I really want you to get to know this soul who now has departed, but who taught a lot about transitioning from one tradition, Christian tradition in this case, to one of spirituality. And I have one of his last sermons that I'll play at the end that really reveals to you how he became more spiritual and more in touch with his true purpose, because at 70 years old, he's gone now. But
he bought land in a Tulsa suburb, opened a big new building, staffed it with a slew of junior ministers and assistants, young men and women drawn to Carlton's charismatic power. The crowds got bigger. There were thousands now, every week. Plans got
figure, too.
All this together is 30 acres.
And we added that 41,000 square foot building called the Destiny Center on the other side of that wall, this part. We had that cost building, $1.6 million, just that.
Wow.
I know that we had about 5,000 or 6,000 people come through there every week, and every seat will be filled.
Collection income was up to $60,000 a week.
This was heaven. And you feel like you're helping people and guiding people and giving to people, and they give back to you in their presence and their smiles and their vocal responses. And we pull a lot of rabbits out of hats.
This was not just showmanship. He had a mission.
Because I presumed that most people would go there, I had a responsibility, if I'm benevolent, to get as many of them out of hell.
Which, that's the point of your services.
Of all services. Of all.
The point of your life was to keep people from hell.
Absolutely. It wasn't, we didn't come here just to worship God. We came here to avoid his hell.
But even then, the trouble had already wormed its way into his brain, though he hardly knew it. He'd been studying the Bible in the original Greek and Hebrew, peppering his sermons with translations. And he couldn't help but notice some strange discrepancies.
Very often, the King James Version translation was different than the Hebrew or Greek.
So it opened your eyes a bit.
Absolutely. It made me question the term that the Bible is inerrant and infallible. Something I would never question.
Sort of dangerous territory, isn't it?
To say that the Bible is not the Word of God, but is the Word of man about God, as best as man has perceived God, is troubling, even for me to say it.
I like to say, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
But if Carlton was troubled, no Sunday churchgoer would have known. He kept it to himself, even as his ministry, his fame, his power continued to grow. Every spring in the 90s, Carlton put on huge revival meetings in the Oral Roberts Navy Center. He called them Azusa Conferences. That's the name of the original Pentecostal revival 100 years ago. At Carlton's Azusa, great preachers and singers would compete for the chance to thrill as many as 40,000 people who packed the bleachers for a week and sold out all the hotels in the city.
It was like a big revival of all these Pentecostal Baptist black people came who were open to the Spirit.
He brought in the big names, including his old mentor, Oral Roberts, who predicted Carlton would be the next great leader.
And the next great revival would be initiated by black people, and that he was going to have a leading part in it.
And he helped create some new evangelical stars. The Azusa Conference is where author and megapastor T.D. Jakes came to national attention. Everything Carlton did seemed blessed. He married a beautiful woman named Gina. Oral Roberts baptized one of his children. In 1997, they made him a bishop. His influence spread to politics. In 2000, he campaigned for George W. Bush. He was invited to the White House.
Pretty big time. You're there at the invitation of the President of the United States.
This is more than just making it.
Yeah, that was pretty big stuff. But I never saw it as a personal thing. I saw it as
the hand of the Lord is on you. This is the destiny of God. Keep yourself humble.
And yet, even as all that success smiled down on Carlton, one secret cauldron of trouble brewed away down in his soul. It would not go away. It was that topic so central to his own preaching, the idea of hell.
I was angry that people go to hell. I was angry that people are stupid enough or unspiritual enough or faithless enough to do the things when they know that they're going to go to hell.
He kept thinking about his backsliding, hell-bound grandparents.
I was resentful of God. See, if you fear God the way we're taught to fear him, you'll serve him. You'll believe in him. You'll worship him, but you probably will never really love him.
And then came that night. He was having dinner in front of the TV set. His little girl was on his lap. He was watching the news.
And he saw these African people, mostly women and children, walking slowly back, trying to come home. There was no light or life in their eyes. It was a horrible thing for me to see. Swollen bellies and skeletal bodies and emaciated. And then the baby's looking at the mama, and the mama looking out in space, and the baby pulling at the mama's breast for milk. It was sad. And I'm sitting there with my little fat-cheeked baby, my plate full of food, watching my big-screen TV, a man of God, a preacher of the gospel, an evangelist. And I'm looking at those people, assuming that they're probably Muslim and going to hell. Because God wouldn't do that to Christians, I'm thinking.
They deserve hell.
They deserve hell.
It was right then, right at that moment, that Carlton Pearson had a revelation.
And I said, God, I don't know how you can call yourself a loving God and allow these people to suffer so much and then just suck them into hell. And I heard, I believe it was the Spirit of God saying, is that what you think we're doing?
You heard this voice.
Yes, sir. And I said, that's what I've been taught.
He broke down, he says. He cried. He talked back at that voice in his head.
God, I can't save this whole world. And that's when I heard that voice say, precisely, that's what we did. And if you tell them that they are redeemed, you wouldn't create those kinds of problems. Can't you see they're already in hell?
Clear as a bell, says Carlton, he heard God telling him to preach this new message, that hell is a place in life, and that after death, everybody is redeemed. Everybody.
I immediately started thinking about my grandparents. Well, maybe they're not in hell. Maybe if they're already saved, if the cross and Christ and all that stuff really happened and is really spiritual, which I believe it is, then if he came to save the world, then the world is saved unless he's a failure.
Carlton began to question everything, including the bedrock belief of his own church. That is, that if people did not accept Jesus as their Savior, they were bound to spend eternity in hell.
If we don't come here and bow at those altars and light these candles and do what people do to appease the presumed angry God, you go to hell. That's the only alternative.
Carlton went back to his Bible. He pored over again those Greek and Hebrew texts.
The Bible is like an idol. It's certainly an icon, but that's the Greek word for idol. We swear on it. We keep it in our cars and we lay it under our pillow when we're afraid.
Eventually, he said, he could come to only one conclusion.
I respect the Bible. I take it very seriously. I just don't take it literally.
But wait 1 minute. What Carlton was thinking, at least according to millions of Christian Americans, was heresy. But by now, he felt convinced that the church's teaching about reward and punishment was simply wrong. And he began to get his head around some ideas he never would have contemplated before that remarkable night in front of his TV set. If Jesus had come to save everybody, born again or not, it meant that heaven was accommodating some pretty strange bedfellows.
You mean Hitler's in heaven?
Yes.
You think Hitler's more powerful than the blood of Jesus?
I mean, I got hell to put a lot of people in. I'd send Hitler and every slave driver straight to hell and a few deacons in my church, if you want to know the truth. I'd send people to hell. But I'm not God. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not ours only, but the sins of the whole world.
Privately, he told his father what he believed he'd learned, that the grandparents who died in sin weren't in hell after all.
When I was able to convince my father again that his parents were not in hell, he lit up. I literally saw my father just change. I think he forgave God that day, if you can do such a thing. And I think I have forgiven him, because he was killing too many of my people and sending them to hell.
He knew that if he dared preach what he decided to call the gospel of inclusion, it would raise a lot of eyebrows among evangelical Christians. After all, who was he to claim that centuries of Christian dogma was simply wrong? That there is no after-death place called hell?
That everybody's going to heaven, and nobody would go to hell.
But remember, Christians of all stripes have come up with widely varied interpretations of worship, theology, and the Bible.
Are you big enough to tell the world there is no hell?
From the kind of evangelical certainty Carlton had always believed before, to some Christian churches that seem prone to a thousand doubts, even as they celebrated the ancient ceremonies. All of them Christians.
So we are really, we're going to take a break. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to press 1. in the studio. And when we come back, we're going to continue to hear about his journey and all the conflict within him. In fact, I would say there was a war within him of sorts. I mean, the man said he had peace about what he revealed to others and what he began to teach to others. But I would suggest that there was a war within him that festered and kept growing until a cancer of the bladder. From what I understand, he had bladder cancer. 20 years before that, he had prostate cancer, but then he later developed bladder cancer. And it's just really sad. And he took chemotherapy. So the ignorance in that area is just off the chain because even I was watching a documentary about John Batiste. He's this beautiful man who recorded the music Freedom. He won all 5 Grammys last year. And his wife went through chemo for months and months and months. And then she was told she'd have to take the chemo the rest of her life. Yikes. So there's along the way that will bring either life or death. And I'm suggesting tonight you make choices that begin up here in the mind that will either keep you in hell or put you in heaven. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, if you have questions or comments, press 1. If you have a comment in the Facebook, I'll read those comments. But we want to continue to grasp the knowledge that this man has left us to help us make the best choices that we can make. So we'll be right back after this message.
Hi, this is Beata, your holistic life coach. Every Sunday evening, I'm here on Blog Talk Radio, Soul Purpose Healing. I'm also blogging live every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Health and Wellness with Beata. You can join the conversation on Fridays at 515-605-9325 or go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. When I'm not doing spiritual adjustments on Blog Talk Radio, I'm helping my clients reduce stress in their lives with EFT or emotional freedom techniques, essential oils, and cost-saving health plans like Ameriplan. Ameriplan is a better way to save money on your health care expenses. You can find out more about me and how to contact me at www.yourholisticlifecoach.com. Until then, stay in joy.
So let us continue on. This is part 3 of the interview, and there's 4 parts. So after part 4, we'll talk more about where does the road to hell begin. And we have some people in our government are starting to talk about resolutions to support Palestine, which to me is the biggest hell we're witnessing lately here on planet Earth. But let's get into part 3 of this interview with Carlton Pearson, Is Hell Real?
So now Carlton had come to his own radical conclusion about hell and decided he was going to preach it, that he had to. And so he stood up in that big church of his in front of his thousands of worshipers and let it all out.
For the first time in all my life as being a Christian, I really not only loved God, I started liking God.
He called it the Gospel of Inclusion because it included everybody, not just Christians or evangelicals or fundamentalists. There'd be conflicts, of course, but surely he, of all people, could convince his congregation and maybe the evangelical community to welcome his new idea that everyone is saved, that hell as a place after death does not exist.
So is it really authentically biblical to believe in the hell we've been taught?
But you don't always get what you wish for.
My wife and I heard it on television.
Just outside Tulsa, Carlton's home turf, is a fiery old-time pastor named Bill Timms. Timms had once been a mentor and friend to Carlton.
So what are your ages?
And now? Well, this was a shock.
He says they're all saved. And if they're all saved, what's he preaching for? That ought to be the end. If Jesus made the way for everybody and they're all safe and happy, what's he preaching for?
Worse, said Timms, Carlton's preaching about hell was downright dangerous, was putting people at risk, to say the least.
We got to look at the fact the Bible says the blind leaders of the blind, shall they not both fall into the ditch? The bottom line is he preached an erroneous message. Are we going to believe what Jesus says? Jesus spoke 12 times more about hell than he did heaven.
It did not take very long for the message to get around. Carlton's hero, his father figure, Oral Roberts, was by all accounts crushed. It was more in sorrow than anger that the old evangelist sent his favorite student a long letter of rebuttal. This doctrine is as dangerous as any I've come in contact with in 66 years of ministry. I implore you, my dear one, please give it up. I feel this so deeply, I weep, I pray, I beseech, I plead. And then in due course, the letter was followed by a decision to remove Carlton from the Board of Regents at Oral Roberts University.
Are we going to say he's right and the rest of us is all wrong?
But for Carlton, it was Oral Roberts' censure that cut so deep.
He loved me like a son, and he still might.
Did you love him back?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you miss him?
I'm bothered by the fact that he doesn't understand what I'm saying, and I'm a disappointment to him. I love him.
Oral tried to get him to change his position, and many others have tried to get him to change his position on this subject.
Even an old Oral Roberts schoolmate, Ted Haggard, came out against Carlton.
Hell is a real place. Jesus talked about it a lot. The Bible talks about it an awful lot.
Haggard has, since this tape was recorded, quite famously entered a kind of living hell himself after he first denied.
Okay. Have you had a relationship with...
I have not.
Any kind of gay relationship?
I've never had a gay relationship with anybody. And I'm steady with my wife. I'm faithful to my wife.
And then confessed to consorting with a male prostitute and buying illegal drugs.
From him.
I was buying up for me, but I never used it.
Have you ever used meth before?
No, I have not.
So,
and I did not ever use it with him.
He was banned from preaching after that, lost his huge church in Colorado Springs, lost his influential position as head of the National Association of Evangelicals. Pastor Ted had filled his church with genuine charisma, his own very obvious personal charm and kindness and Bible-based teaching. And back then, before the fall, Haggard made it crystal clear Carlton Pearson's new idea was not right at all.
I think Carlton's a good man. He's made a horrible mistake, a grievous mistake.
Does hell exist? You bet it does.
Oh, yeah, it's a place.
An actual physical place?
It's a physical place, yeah. It's not just a state of being.
Hell, said Haggard, waits with absolute certainty for unbelievers everywhere. Remember how Carlton Pearson told us even Hitler would not be in hell? The question for Haggard was about the famously peace-loving and righteous non-Christian Gandhi.
Gandhi is in hell?
There's only one.
Gandhi knew about Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't accept him as his Savior.
Right.
Quite pointedly.
Yeah, then he's in hell. The scripture is perfectly clear about judgment.
Yes, sir. I relate to Ted's hell.
To Carlton Pearson, Ted Haggard's fall was a perfect illustration of his new message, that hell is a place on earth, not after death.
Well, I agree with him. He said hell is a physical place. Hell is a physical place, and he's in it.
It's here on earth.
Here on earth.
But as Brother Timms and others were quick to point out, human weakness like Ted's can strike almost anyone. But leading people astray is serious business. To many people, what Carlton had done was the fouler deed by far.
They're both dangerous. I wouldn't want to be in either one of their shoes.
Where are they headed?
They're headed for perdition. They're headed for hell as sure as there's a hell.
But they can forgive Ted, because Ted still believes you have to confess Christ to be saved.
He can be forgiven.
Yes.
You can't.
I cannot.
It was, for many who'd once admired Carlton Pearson, simply unforgivable. And folks around Tulsa got the word.
they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are going to hell.
In 2001, after nearly 20 years of preaching, Bishop Carlton Pearson, the preacher with the magic touch, was under attack. He had abandoned one of the central pillars of Pentecostal theology and was now preaching his gospel of inclusion, turning the traditional view of hell on its head.
Now I've gone really off my rocker, and I'm actually saying there is no hell as we have been taught. There is.
And before long, saying some pretty heretical things about the church itself.
I think religion itself is all about control, from the Vatican to the pulpits, the high places in the church. It is a matter of authoritative control, a form of religious tyranny. Now I consider myself a freedom fighter, trying to get people free from the paranoia and the penalty of following these people who say it's our way or the highway.
And his own religious leaders, his fellow churchmen, were, no surprise, dismayed.
Listen, I love him. He is not qualified to preach in my church. Not by the book. Not by the book. He's not qualified.
They're afraid I'm going to lead people to hell. They're afraid that I'm going to lead people away from the tradition. They're afraid. Everything's fear.
You know, that's exactly what Bill Tim says. You're leading people to hell.
Yeah.
But you are demon-possessed.
Yes, yeah, uh-huh. And I would have said that a few years ago myself.
But remember, up to 6,000 people a week had been faithfully attending Carlton's services when he preached that hell was real.
It's no different than you running a show and people don't like it and people don't believe it, and so they watch another show. It's the market.
Once his big church had taken in $60,000 a week. Now week by week it's slid. $50,000, $30,000, $10,000, then barely $6,000. He couldn't meet the payroll, not a quarter of the payroll. His staff of assistant ministers sent out resumes, found jobs in other churches. To stay with Carlton now, many seem to feel, would be both morally wrong and career suicide. Though very few of them, like children's pastor Steve Palmer and senior associate pastor Jesse Williams, decided to stay.
I'm a son, and sons don't leave their fathers when they need them the most.
But it brought some low points. What's the worst?
I wouldn't want people to even know, because it's just too painful to even talk about. People that you thought were friends, people that you thought were close to you, you know, I'll do anything for you, I got your back, we're in this together, we're in it for the long run, and then just disappear. No explanation.
I'd love to know your thoughts at this point, but if you are still thinking about all this, that's okay. We do have a comment from one of our, Facebook list. Francis is here. Hi, Francis. Ted Haggard was the worst liar. They're all liars, in my opinion. And here's the funny thing. When we look at the Middle East, the war and the hell that's going on in the Middle East, that's my thinking, is that the hell is up here first. And I was talking to a friend earlier about, where does the hell start? Who created the military-industrial complex, which has brought hell all over the planet? These men, I'm sure they're mostly men, Rockefellers, Rothschilds, all the Zionists who have created these wars, bombing people, Hiroshima, dropping bombs on people. What is that if it's not hell? So where did it begin? Where did it begin that men should create bombs and guns? Someone's mind. So to me, the hell of war is the worst kind on this planet, that you think your egocentric, psychopathic mind should create weapons of mass destruction and take people out with your weapons and send souls back to wherever they need to go. That to me is hell. So I tend to look at what Carlton Pearson has gone through as a real blessing for us to learn about, as he said, control and tyranny. And that's what we're looking at with our own government. So I'm going to go ahead and play this last part. Let's see, we've got a caller. Let me take a caller first, because we want to stimulate your spirituality and your choices, to stimulate you to make better choices that do not create hell in this planet. We've got enough of it right here on planet Earth. I don't think you're going to get any more from this experience. We got enough of it. So let me go to the phone, 612-545. Your mic is open.
Yes, good evening, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, what's your name?
My name is Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Doing well, ma'am. How are you doing?
Good. What's your comment or question?
So I wanted to say, I think, and I'm not totally sure your spiritual background, but as far as for myself, I was an atheist for most of my life. And I had a spiritual encounter with the Lord that, like Jesus, appeared to me in a real way. And since then, I've had spiritual encounters with both the dark side and with the side of the Lord. And what people don't seem to understand is, in the spiritual world, there's laws in place that has caused certain things to happen. And there's authorities and powers that rule and control certain parts of the world. And
yeah,
what people don't understand about hell is, hell in the spiritual world is way worse than anything you can imagine here. Getting bombed, getting killed, getting raped, getting abused, those things are terrible. But it's nothing compared to the spiritual side. Spiritual side, things are much more severe than it is in this physical world. And what I notice when it comes to spirituality, in this, especially nowadays, is that people are trying to avoid accountability. In the spiritual world, everything is about accountability. Everything. Both on the dark and on the light side. And so there's no escaping that. And people need to understand, what you do is going to come back. It's unavoidable. And so whatever thing you may think you'll be facing now is pales in comparison to what's going to happen after you die. And so while you're alive now, you have the opportunity to repent and be forgiven, only because of God's mercy. But if you reject that and you maintain your position of you're somehow think you're good or everything's going to be fine when you pass on, people are in for a rude awakening because they don't understand the depths of what happens there. Because what will happen for some people, it depends on what you did, but the demons come up with all type of unique forms of torture. They'll do things like, they have situations where you'll come when you pass on, they'll fool you into thinking you're seeing your family and loved ones. You don't know that you're in a torture chamber and the demons are creating a scenario and they're appearing to you as your family, your friends, your loved ones in some beautiful place, and you think, oh, this must be heaven. You don't know that they're pretending to be something else, and that they'll surprise you, and all of a sudden they'll just appear in their true form, and they'll rip you apart and torment you. Some people don't even get that. Some people, they go straight to the torture. And the depths of torture change depending on what you've done and depending on the knowledge that you had. So whatever you may think about hell, whatever you think about it, I'm telling you, people need to get right. They have no idea how scary it is on the spiritual side. They have no clue. And people don't understand how active demons are working right now to deceive everybody, to convince you, one, to get you to stay away from the Lord, number one, because their goal is to keep you from entering the kingdom of God by all any means necessary. And they'll deceive you with whatever it takes. And the number one thing they'll try to make you feel like is that you're somehow good. You don't need God's forgiveness. You can somehow, if there is a heaven or hell, that you're just going to make it in on your own merit. And that's just not true. I didn't know I was so evil until I had an encounter with the Lord and I saw my life. He showed me how evil I was. He showed me every time I lied, every time I'd ever hurt someone, every time I'd ever took an advantage of somebody, every time I disobeyed my parents, every time, even small things that I used to do, like my pride or, you know, thinking, trying to undercut people to make myself look better. And the smallest things that we think are insignificant, they're massive in the spiritual world. And so people, wherever you're at, whatever may have happened to you in your upbringing, whether you grew up in a Christian home or a religious home and people abused you, all that is terrible, but at the end of the day, you got to be held accountable for what you've done. Not what people have done to you, what you've personally done. And look in your own heart and ask yourself, have I done evil? And if we're honest, we've all done it. We're all guilty. So what we really need to come to the conclusion of is what can we do to be forgiven of the evil we've done? Because regardless of what you may think, in that life, it's going to get exposed. Every detail, every secret thing you've ever done. In the spiritual world, there's no questions. Everything is known immediately. Any question you have in your mind is brought directly to your mind. There's no asking or requesting information. Everything is evident and brought forth. Everything you've ever done is laid open and laid bare. Every detail, every little skeleton you got in your closet, it's all coming out. And there will be a recompense for every detail. And I'm begging anyone listening, forget your past, forget whatever anyone has told you. Seek the Lord and repent while you're still alive. Because the majority of the world is going to hell. And
okay,
the hell that
so
we're talking about is a real hell.
Michael, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing your experience. May I ask, how old are you?
Right now I'm 36. I had this experience with the Lord when I was 22.
36. Okay. So you're the age of my youngest son. Now, did you grow up in a religious family?
My mother was, my dad wasn't, but by the time I was in middle school, I had nothing to do with religion. I thought it was all nonsense and fake and just, you know, people using it to make money and so forth.
Okay, so what religion, what denomination were you exposed to?
Well, my mom was she was a Christian. My dad was, he wasn't really religious. You can call him a nominal Catholic, maybe.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear that you have found some peace in your choice of Christianity. I guess you're a Christian. You call yourself a Christian now, right?
Yes, I'm a born again Christian.
Born again Christian. This is good to hear because every human being comes into this world to learn about religion, denominations, hell, heaven. And then each of us has a decision to make every time we take a breath on how we're going to live our lives. From the time we're children, we make choices, we suffer consequences, and so on and so on. So I really appreciate hearing your story because I can say I've been there, done that. I've been through every denomination. I'm now 68 years old. I have been through every – I started out in the Methodist church, went to the Baptist church. Study Hebrew is what the Bible was my book of choice for 20, 30 years. And so, but what do you say about people who are living in remote areas and they never see a Bible or hear about Jesus as their Savior? What do you think is going to happen to them?
Well, every human being, God has given them two lights. Every human being, no matter where they're from, where they're born at any time, the two lights God has given is conscience and creation. So God is putting within every human being's conscience the basic morality that is universal, meaning things like don't lie, don't steal, don't murder, don't cheat, you know, don't hurt people, so forth. That's in every human being's conscience, right? And so over time, people can deaden their conscience by doing evil repeatedly. But every being intrinsically knows within them it's wrong to do those things. So that's number one, God-given. Number two, what God's given is the fact of creation itself testifies there's a creator. That's why in almost every culture that's ever existed, they've always believed in some kind of a God that created the world, right? And so it's only in the recent, very recent era where men, because of their desire to escape moral accountability, have embraced this idea that the universe and life simply came about on its own from nothing through a blind random chance process, which is utterly ridiculous.
But
I used to believe that when I was an atheist.
The question is, do you think people who are in remote areas who don't have a Bible, who don't know about Jesus, and they die, do you think they're going to hell?
Well, it's different for every person. So what God teaches, and
right.
It's something I learned from
right.
being with the Lord, is that God judges by knowledge and understanding. So, for example, you and I, we've read the Bible, we know about Jesus. We're judged to a much stricter standard than someone who hasn't. So they're judged by the knowledge that they have. So, for example, like I said, everyone has the basic law of God in their heart. Like every human being knows, unless they have a mental issue, everyone knows it's wrong to lie. You don't have to be told that God put that in you already. So People will be judged by the moral standard they know.
You know what? My grandson hasn't gotten that message yet. He's still working on that. But listen, I want to bring in another caller, Brother Kwame Sunhurst. He was texting me about something about the Bible. So I'm going to open up his mic. And let's hear what – I'm going to keep your mic open. Michael, sonny, Mike, another Michael in my life. I love it. Brother Kwame Sunhurst, welcome, and how are you, and what's your comment this evening?
Good evening, Sister Viata, and good evening to Michael. And excellent to hear a young knowledge being spoken by a man of 36. You know, he's finally – 14 years, he's catching up. There's a lot of people still out there that's lost.
That's right.
But what I was saying, the thing is that there's nowhere in the Torah or in the Old Testament before there anything mentions about hell. This is a concept that's been added to the versions of rewriting this book and you know, Hades and these other places that Taurus, these names that they were given and saying that these were the lake of fire and these parts of that. The part of it is that when a child is conceived and it's given the spark of life, that energy of life, even though it comes out into the world and if it does not mature, it is out without sin. And so that child has a chance that it's going to return back to this planet again without sin. And so the thing of it is that man has given this concept of creating fear. Hell is fear. Love and fear cannot live in the same body. And so man has created the torment of fears, okay, and like Michael was saying, all the things that we do, you're only as sick as your secrets because you think nobody knows but the Creator and you know. And the other part is that in nature, there's a balance. There always is a balance. And the thing of it is that the Creator has created on this earth the balance of life and death and the recycle because life is a circle and we're going to die. We're going to, like Adam. Adam died and he went back to being what you came from was dust and you will return to dust. Didn't say he was going to hell. Didn't say he was going, he returned back to being dust. So this is the part that man has come up with these concepts in order to create conflict in the consciousness of the human being and saying that these things are going to happen to you if you don't do what I say. Just like he went up there and took 42 laws up and you came down with only 10 and you said thou shall not, but you didn't say you shall not. See, these ways in which they have manipulated the words in order to take control of fear and saying that if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. You're going to go to hell and you're going to do this. You know, these are the tricks of the religious overlords, as I would say. Because you just talked about all of these preachers that stand up there in the pulpit and preach every Sunday and preach and then do more sins than the other. You know, we used to go out and be out partying Saturday night and you see the preachers and the deacons out there in the club and then you go into church Sunday morning and they all sitting there in the pulpit hungover.
Which is why each one of us needs a personal relationship with nature and the Creator. I keep having bees show up in my life, and I just know that's the Creator bringing me closer to the energy of love that the Creator gives all of us. So we appreciate everything, but it's an individual journey that the Creator's love energy is bringing us into a relationship. Carlton Pearson had over 50 years in the pulpit, in the Bible, teaching, preaching, singing, blah, blah, blah. And then boom, the spirit of truth comes in to many of us and says, now I want you to consider, because you've been thinking about your grandparents, that was no accident. Because you've been thinking about hell in a remote land like to all those people, I want you to consider the truth that there is no hell in another realm, that consider the truth that the hell is right here on earth. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And even though Michael was saying, well, it's even worse in the spiritual realm, the Creator can reveal that to anyone who needs that knowledge and information. So that's what, when you have a close relationship with nature, the Creator spirit of love, and I don't deny some people need Yeshua. Jesus is out of my vocabulary. Yeshua HaMashiach, that's the Messiah, the spirit of truth. Some people need a savior. I tell my friends sometimes, I don't need a savior. I'll be your savior if you want me to, but I don't need a savior. I had 50-plus years of my life thinking I needed a savior, and then the Most High revealed that to me. It's an individual journey. And let me read some of the comments here. So, Michael, we are just pleased as punch to know that you're on this journey to know truth, and that's what it's really all about. We are all one truth.
Could I respond to some of the things that Brother Kwame said?
So let's do this. Let me say, so we can live on this planet in peace with other people, with other humans, so we can stop bombing the hell out of people, and we can learn how to love, because Yeshua, Jesus, is a spirit of love more than anything. I don't believe Jesus is coming back in the clouds or any of that. That's not my belief. I believe the head, the mind. The mind is where war begins. Those Rockefellers and all those people who created bombs and that began in the mind. And so when you recognize that you're carrying a war mind, you can change that. You can change that. Spending more time in nature is what I say the Creator intends for all of us to do. Go ahead, Michael. You had another comment?
Yeah, I wanted to say to what Kwame mentioned there, he said that there was no passages about hell or, you know, eternal punishment in the Old Testament. Is that correct? Did you say that?
Yeah, and that's what the Old Testament and the Torah and the books, when they were first written, there isn't a part of what the H-E-L-L. They had Hades, they had the other words, but that wasn't the word for hate. That was purgatory. Or those languages.
Right, so you what you're saying is you don't believe that the Old Testament taught about eternal punishment in the afterlife.
Well, in the part that they put in there and saying that there was purgatory, that you're going to suffer for whatever, the lake of fire. And they gave.
Right, so are you familiar with the book of Daniel?
Yeah.
So in the 12th chapter of Daniel, so Daniel is one of the only prophets in the entire Old Testament that was, he was not only given a vision of the future, he was also given the vision of Judgment Day itself. And he was given a lot of revelations as far as about the afterlife. And in Daniel chapter 12, he's told that multitudes will rise, some to everlasting life, others to everlasting contempt and destruction. So Daniel saw both Judgment Day, and he saw that people are going to either spend eternity in paradise or eternity in punishment.
That's what I'm saying. The word hell, that what we're talking about is we use this language saying hell. Torment is that's purgatory. The part in which you're going to suffer for things you know that you, in your own consciousness, that you know that you have done, you're going to suffer with living with that and in yourself. But the part in what we're seeing is this word called hell, you're going to burn in fires forever. This is the part that man has put this in there in order to
misdirect. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that man put it in there and Jesus didn't really say that? Because in the Gospels, Jesus talks about the lake of fire and about hell.
But what I'm saying is, if then why isn't there in Scripture that he actually says these words?
Who, Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus talks about hell and the lake of fire and judgment and all many times in the Gospels and in the book of Revelation.
Okay, so if you look at the history of the Bible, how it was created, how it was written, there was a lot of influence, especially King Jimmy Virgin is full of deception and misunderstanding. So each one of us, again, Michael.
We don't have to look at the English translation. We can look at the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, which go back as far as And in both the Greek and in the Hebrew, we see the same thing being taught. So, for example, with the Old Testament, Hebrew. We have copies of the Old Testament with the Dead Sea Scrolls that go back more than 2,000 years.
Yeshua, Jesus spoke Aramaic. Hebrew is a modern day language.
No, I'm talking about the manuscripts for the actual Old and New Testament. So the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. New Testament is written in Koine Greek. So what I'm saying is we have manuscripts that we can study, that we can know what was written down beforehand. And what I'm saying is that when they made the King James translation, they introduced these concepts of hell, judgment day, lake of fire. That's written in the Greek manuscripts itself. We have the Textus Receptus, which is the most solid group of manuscripts that we have. I mean, for the New Testament alone, we have over 25,000 manuscripts. No other document from antiquity even comes close to that, both the number of and the closest to the date of when it was written.
Right. So, you know, we could debate this all night, but I want to get to some comments. And for those of us who study the Bible in Aramaic, Hebrew, and we have had a close relationship with the Spirit of Truth, with the Yeshua, then we might have a different answer, interpretation, perspective on what the Bible is telling us. I, for one, the Bible is full of allegories and lessons for us. My opinion, it's not meant to be taken as a history book. It's too powerful for that. It has allegories, metaphors, and symbolism. And
so,
that's what I learned.
If the Holy Spirit revealed to me the truth of the word, and Jesus showed me, first of all, convicted me of my sin, made me aware of judgment, I've had attacks from the dark side. I've had demons. I've had witches astral project into my room and attack me. The dark side is real. You realize demons are real.
Again, where it starts in the mind. That's our question tonight. Where does the road to hell begin?
I'm talking about outside of yourself. Do you believe that there's a spiritual realm that exists outside of you, like where there's demons and...
90% of our reality is invisible. So, of course, as you mature spiritually, you realize what we see is only 10% of reality. Everything else
right,
is
but,
invisible.
Right, but I mean, do you believe that demons are real?
Demons, we'd have to go into an interpretation. That's an adversarial energy.
No, I'm talking, I'll give you a specific, an evil spirit that's malevolent with the intent to lead you into destruction. Is that real?
Everything in the invisible realm is possible. You know, everything is impossible.
No, I'm asking you, have you ever had an experience with demons or witches or people who engage in witchcraft?
In human beings, they possess people.
Where do the people that engage in witchcraft, where do they get their power from?
Exactly, from the universal energy that creates those type of things.
They get it from demons.
They say that themselves. We got to define demons, because in reality, everything is energy. You can manifest, you create your own demons, is what I think.
Demons are a separate spiritual force apart from you that have an intent and a goal and a purpose, which in your life, their number one goal is to deceive you and to lead you into destruction.
Okay, so let me pause there. Let me pause there. We've got other callers, and I want to read some of these comments, which I think are very valid here. Craig is with us. And Craig is one of our listeners, regular listeners, and Craig is saying, by design, religious intent is to, quote, pry loose a person away from knowledge of their own soul and handing that soul over to someone else, quote, a group of people like the church or an otherworldly being, maybe demons, posing as a creative intelligence. Thank you, Craig. And then he goes on to say, every single person carrying any kind of spiritual message is dubbed heretical immediately. And that's what happened to Carlton. He became more spiritual. Instead of staying in the dogmatic, religious mind, he became more spiritual, meaning a closer intimacy, hearing spiritual messages. And that's why he became a heretic, because the church doesn't want people to become spiritual.
No, he became a heretic. He went against the Jesus that he claims to believe in. If I call myself a Muslim, and I'm a follower of Muhammad and I'm studying the Quran, if I then say half the things that Muhammad taught in the Quran are not true, how can I then call myself a Muslim? In the same way, for Carlton Banks call himself a Christian, and when Jesus himself taught repeatedly in the Gospels and in the Book of Revelation about hell, and many times, not a few, not a couple, many, he's either saying either A, Jesus was lying, or B, what we have in the Bible is not true, which then refers to then Jesus didn't even have the power to preserve his own word. So on both ends, he's either calling Jesus a liar or he's calling him weak, because either what Jesus said is not true or Jesus didn't have the power to preserve his own word in the gospel, which in the gospel, Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Heaven and hell will pass away before my word does. So he's going against God, one or the other. So, I mean, that's the question you got to ask yourself. Is Jesus real? If he is, is what he said in the gospel is true? And if it's not true, then obviously he's not real, because he either didn't speak the truth or he didn't have the power to keep his word true, to maintain and preserve it.
Okay, Michael, let me pause you for a minute. I'm going to put you on mute for a minute so I can read. I get your message. We're going to respond to that in a minute. Let me read a message from our sister Frances. I want to give everyone a chance to comment, participate, if you will, because this is a collective community of people, human spirits, souls who are here to grow. We're here to grow and evolve. Many of us grew up with Jesus, singing Jesus Loved Me in Sunday school, and seeing alcoholic parents, seeing the conflict, the division, the hypocrisy, and we had to develop a different relationship. Jesus was a creation of many writers of the New Testament to get control. The Catholic Church wrote the New Testament, honey. So let's just get real about who Jesus is. The spirit of Yeshua HaMashiach, in my opinion, is a spirit of truth. And the man who they call Jesus was created by the Catholic Church, in my opinion, and put into the New Testament. But there is still a spirit of truth that we call Yeshua. Yeshua means Yahuwah saves. So until we get out of the Jesus Latin name, we don't really get a full understanding of what his name even means. So Francis, thank you for joining me. Francis says Carlton had a job experience. I don't know, not sure what that means. His marriage failed. Also, those last two, the white and black guys, deserted him too. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The Lord's Prayer states, deliver us from evil, your hell. Where is any scripture found that instructs one to focus on hell? Good points, good points. And let me say this. I saw an interview of his wife who was married to him for 26 years. They had two children. And I have so much empathy for her, because what she shared, the reason, I wouldn't say their marriage failed, their marriage transformed, because she was there with him at the end of his life. But she said she said, and he agreed, Carlton agreed, she was the mistress to his church. So over 25, 26 year period, if you're in that type of relationship with a man who is very popular worldwide and you're the mistress, she said she had to become whole again. She had to leave that relationship. I wouldn't say it failed, Francis. The marriage, she had to go into a transformation and change. And even at the end of his life, she told him, they both agreed they should get remarried. They didn't get remarried, but spiritually they had a new experience, new relationship at the end of his life, because they had two children. And their relationship as a very popular Christian couple had to go through some stresses and changes for her. And they had to separate because she was the mistress to his church. Now, any woman, with any sense, now she's out there doing yoga and meditating and all that, because she had to renew her spirit after a relationship like that. So I hear what you're saying. And we don't focus on hell in a spiritual journey. We focus on being the light and being love, the spirit of being, having, Michael, hear me, having the mind of Yeshua, HaMashiach, a.k.a. Jesus, is the most important thing we need right now. With wars going on and rumors of wars, we don't need to be worshiping at anybody's feet. We need to be being human, being the love of Yeshua in our minds. And Craig says, I studied Arabic, sister to Aramaic like Hebrew. Okay, and then thank you, Craig. That's very important to study Arabic and to study languages, because when you're trying to interpret books, whether it's the Quran, the Bible, the Bible has been so mistranslated, you can't even get any clear understanding in most versions. You have to have a very prayerful, meditative life to get the full message, the metaphors, the allegories, and the symbolism that is in the Bible to help us in these days of war and hell on earth. Yeah, we're in hell on earth. I'm not worried about the hell that people are talking about after my soul lives this body. Craig says that is not what the meaning of heretic. I'm not sure what that means. Only dogma goes to extremes. And then Olivia says the third eye is the seat of perception, and heaven and hell is a state of consciousness. Thank you, Olivia. I love you, my sister. So as you continue in your journey, spirit will reveal more. Very well put. We arrive in this family of religion and denominations, and Jesus loves me, and you're going to hell if you don't get a savior, blah, 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 blah. And you live a life 50 years or so, and then the spirit of love, the spirit of truth comes to you and says, well, consider this. And then you sit outside with the bees and the birds, and they teach you. Oh, truth comes to you with bees and birds. So thank you, Olivia. That's where I'm with you. And then we have Francis, and there are over 40,000 different denominations and sects. Scripture is a scroll of codes, principles, initiations, and more, metaphors, allegories. So and then Olivia says, the stories of you are an allegory, Galatians 4:24-28, so it's speaking symbolic. Absolutely. That's where I am. Now, everyone is not at the level that Olivia and I are at, many of my spiritual friends. I don't judge anymore. Wherever you are, I feel like as long as you're not thinking about creating a bomb to drop, as long as you're not thinking about going out and killing somebody, hey, we can all get along. Let's just talk at this level, at this stage of the game. Let's just talk peace, because there's too many zombies out there who don't know who they are. And think about this. One more thing. Do you know how many people are dying from cancer? Tells me people are in pain, and I'm just saying Jesus is not the answer for that necessarily. It might be somebody, maybe Jesus can deliver some of these people on fentanyl and overdosing. I'm not going to be the one to say that's what everybody needs. I'm saying let's just try all of us to be love. If it's in your consciousness, in your mind, let's be love. And I've got Mama AZ, your mic is open, but I'll let give his comment. Kwame, did you have another comment?
Yeah, I was just trying to say that, you know, we're talking about this book, the Helios Biblios. There's over 3,030 versions of the Bible and over 2,011 languages and 1,900 languages that this book has been written in. That's on digital right now today. So you got all of these books out here.
Yeah.
Which is the true book?
Yeah, thank you. You know what the true book, you and I know the true book is out there in nature. You need to go out there and read nature and learn, watch the birds, the bees, and the ants and the trees. And that's where the true book is in my life. Mama AZ, I know you are in that book every day. You're putting your feet in the soil, in the earth. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
thank us.
Can you hear
go
me,
ahead.
Dr. V?
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Can hear
go
me?
Ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. And thank us, Brother Kwame. First of all, what is the energy day, the energy number for this day, Dr. V?
Number nine.
Are you sure?
We're giving birth. Yeah, 12. I think 12/3/23 is the nine.
No, 2023.
Yeah,
we're not adding.
December 3rd.
Okay, so are you adding up the whole month, the 12th month, the third day,
and
then 2023?
Yes, it's a seven. Okay, maybe I got that wrong. Let me do it again. 12, 13.
Do it again.
It's a three. Okay, maybe a three.
No, uh-uh. We got to get this right. 2023.
Oh, it's a four. Okay, it's a four. We got a four.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Thinking
okay.
out of the box. It's not only foundation. Where's the numbers, Guru, Brother Eddie? But what I'm getting at, Dr. V, now when did Carlton Pearson make his transition? What was the energy number of that?
We have to look that up, but Brother Eddie, your mic is open.
Greetings,
okay.
Simon. Go ahead, Mother AZ. I'll speak after you. Go ahead, my dear.
Oh, okay. Dr. V, this is so profound. It's going to be another show. I'm listening at Carlton. I'm looking at his track record. Oklahoma or Roberts, and a lot of the information that Carlton Pearson has come out with is so on point. He's not falling for the god dang okie doke anymore. People, family, and he's not going to be the only one. Even the Reverend A.A. Allen, who communicates with me. I'm so thankful for you, Dr. V, to bring this out about Carlton Pearson because of what time of day it is. Family, there are not only Carlton Pearson. See, he had to leave. And so did Reverend A.A. Allen because of what time of day it is. You know,
right.
No, it is no, it's hell right here. Hell is how you make it. And it took me a minute to realize that in my late 30s, I'm like, what the heck? So look, Dr. V, I love the freaking bejesus out of you because for you to bring this up on a four-day, and I'll let Brother Eddie handle that because he's the man when it comes to the numbers. Numbers mean everything. When my dad made his transition, when I was park hostessing at Pettigrew State Park right next to the plantation, Somerset Place in North Carolina, my dad came to me and he said, Roberta, there's no need to spend $1,500 to come to my homegoing celebration because you're right where you need to be in 95 to start to investigate numbers. And who would you know, Brother Eddie Harris came on the scene to enhance what knowledges I already have when it comes to numbers. Thank you. There, we got hell right here with these creatures who may be two-leggeds, who look like us, in the copper-colored thing in the house, and you know what I'm talking about. So thank us. Come on, Brother Ed. Come on down. You're on. Thank us. Peace.
The mic is open, Brother Eddie.
Greetings and better love together, family. It seems like the family's fired up this evening, and I love it. I love it. And I have to say first, to everybody listening from any book you read from. It's called the Holy Bible is your personal relationship. So since we all have a personal relationship for whatever way we believe, get whatever information that we concur with, we agree with, everything else let go. We don't need nobody else's garbage, you know, but everybody has valid points. For me, you know me, I'm listening to the numbers behind all of it. So it's a beautiful thing to see again that once we're able to see the number behind the word and see that we are basically saying the same thing by the number, it's the word of English that's the occult that keeps us divided. That's its job. The occult, English, divided, all the five. They're using the five because when we mention Jesus Christ is the five, but putting it in this array of religions that keep the confusion amongst your thought, because that's where Christ starts, in your thought. Everybody has a different piece of the puzzle. No one has the whole thing. As Mother AZ stated, today is the fourth. Fourth is spiritual. And as Michael mentioned, the spiritual realm is the truth that we all bring. Everybody brings their truth from their experience. And once we figure this out, because with this unconditional love and truth, this is what's going to conquer all. And to mention hell by number, family, hell is six. So when we look at hell being six, we're looking at it being right here on earth. Earth is six. But we're converting, as we say, the hell, the earth, is in your heart, family. Heart is six. And that comes directly from the beat that comes from your word. Beat is six and word is six. So the hell that is created by your word, whatever you believe, what comes out of your mouth that you manifest. We're casting spells on ourselves with this language of English. This is why everybody was talking about the different languages the Bible comes from, the Helios Bible, all of this. But we're speaking English. So to see this by the spiritual number, today being that four, spiritual, truth is four. God is four. Protection is four. It's behind the number of the spirit, spirit being four, that we're speaking the truth that's going to set us free. See, and that comes directly from every individual's understanding to understand what's getting you to that overstanding that's coming directly from within. So Judgment Day, the hell, is all the six. That's why Judgment Day is six. Your word is six. Your heart is six. So coming from your heart through your word is your actual judgment. That's why your word is your bond. And we're all bonded from the very beginning because the six is the 411 called your DNA. It's in all of us. The word is embedded innately in all of us. But until we see it a different way, because we're sometimes arguing, bickering, whatever, debating with these English occult words that we truly don't understand because they give us a definition that we still go with. No, once we see the number, we can find Christ. We can find God. It's behind, it's hidden in plain sight in the number embedded in all these words. But everybody has a personal relationship to give their truth. I love Michael's passion, and I love some of the things he's saying because we don't agree with totally everybody on everything that anybody says. So he has valid information that he's delivering. But we can't close ourselves off because we have a conditional perception of what we've been taught. But again, that invisible realm that you mentioned that is spiritual, and that number of God, because remember, I've never heard any preacher, reverend, any religious leader speak in number behind these English words to reveal, because numbers don't lie, who God is and who Christ is by the English language we speak. And until we put all this nonsense aside and see that it's the number that's bringing us together, it's the words that keep us divided, we fall. And we're falling because of an English language that is not the basic language of any of us. This is a created language that was given, taught to us. So, again, I want to leave on that note saying it's peace and love, family, and peace and love that we have to push, because peace and peace is five. Christ is five. Love is five. Find that number that they're trying to keep you divided with five. With that, family, I'm closing love. I love you all.
And thank you, Brother Eddie. All of us should pay attention to the numbers, which are the language of the universe. And those are the numbers that I see and have been seeing for several years now are confirming my relationship with the spiritual world, the creator, and the spirit of truth, which is Yeshua. We've got Naima, I think she texted. Naima, your mic is open. You said you had a caller in the Female Solutions studio, if you want to open up. And as Brother Eddie said, we need to know who our enemies are and not stop this division, because that is why the war in the Middle East is continuing, because they don't know who their real enemies are. They're accusing everybody over there as a terrorist, or Hamas is the terrorist. Actually, the Zionists and the United States are the terrorists. So let's be clear and focus on who the real enemies are. All of us here are not, in my mind. We are all coming together to share our truth. So, Naima, did that caller want to? Naima, are you there? Okay, we're going once, going twice. Okay, we'll come back to her later maybe. But thank you all for this. We're in a new battle today. And Craig said something. Kwame, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Craig is asking a question about some energy. Let me see, pull this up. He says there's supposed to be some kind of pulse headed towards Earth soon. Wanted Kwame's take on that. Are you aware of some new energy pulse coming at us that will affect electronics? It may play on electronics, he says.
We're in what's called the solar maximum. And what we're having is CMEs is coming off the sun, and which is going to cause disruption of the electrical, wherever it hits on the planet, it will cause a disruption of the electrical currents wherever it hits at. It's just like it did in 87 up in New York and the blackout in 1859. It did the one knocked out the telegraph. So these are the times in which we're getting these energies to create, you know, something that we have to understand that we are not in charge. And the thing that man is attempting to do that the creator is showing, you know, this is who's controlling this is the sun. Just as we get up every morning and the sun rises, it shines on all the people on the planet. Be you good, bad, or indifferent, it does not make a difference. So how are we going to be greater than the person that makes the sun rise.
Hallelujah. Totally agree. In fact, there are no coincidences. Whether we're speaking of the sun's energy that's going to affect us, planets moving, even the death. Carlton Pearson left this earth on November 19th, 2023, which is a one. If I'm adding that correctly, 11/19/2023.
Oh my God. Dr. V, he left on November 19th?
Yes. So,
Are you sure?
I just Googled it. You know how Google is. They could be wrong. It said November 9th.
Oh,
he
my
was born,
God.
Kwame, you'll love this. He was born 3/19, which I think is Pisces, 53.
Oh, Dr. V, this is another show. Brother Eddie, Brother Kwame, this is another show because I had the revival at Miracle Valley on the 19th, and something extraordinary happened out there. And for those who do not know what Miracle Valley is Miracle Valley, Arizona, a Bible college that Reverend A.A. Allen created, and he was a student of Oral Roberts, and then he created his own thing. And him and Carlton Pearson is talking now, because what Carlton Pearson had to say, Reverend Allen has been communicating that to me since 2006, and I didn't know it until now. Oh, my God.
So, no coincidence, okay. Then, and heard also, as I was searching for videos on Carlton Pearson, a young lady was given a word about Carlton Pearson's death was a sign for judgment on T.D. Jakes. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm curious. Everybody know who T.D. Jakes is? T.D. Jakes actually was introduced to the world by Carlton Pearson at an Azusa. You know what Azusa, what big celebration of spiritual or ministry or Christianity. So this woman was given like a 10-minute prophecy about, because the date that Carlton Pearson transitioned was the beginning of a judgment on T.D. Jakes. So just keep your eyes open. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm just passing on what I saw by this very humble woman. And she was giving this reading. So no coincidences. The fact that I don't know when the ceasefire ended in Middle East, but there's probably a lot of significance on that date, too, that this new battle started, which I believe signals us to renew our minds and prepare for the consciousness rising even more. Because every time we hear in the media about more conflict, more wars, people are just rising up and saying no more. So just keep your ears and eyes open and be ready to shine your light. I think Michael dropped out, but that was a beautiful an appearance of a young 36-year-old man who's excited about Jesus. And been there, done that, and I'm open to hear about those things, but I'm not in that realm anymore. The third dimension, that to me is a third dimensional experience where you got to have a savior to keep you out of hell, and that's exactly why Carlton Pearson, I believe, had an introduction to more spirituality, because we are in this season. This is a season of transitioning from the third dimension to fourth and fifth dimension, and there is no hell in the fourth and fifth dimension. That's why we're trying to get there, but we got people struggling in the third dimension who want to stay in this physical reality of conflict and war and battles and more that keep us out of the peaceful fourth and fifth dimension. So, we only have about a minute left. Do any of you have,
I've
got my... Yeah, Kwame, your mic's open. Mama Z and Eddie, if you have any final words. Go ahead.
Okay, what Greg was talking about is that the solar maximum, there was a G1 and a G2. Those are coronal mass ejections coming off November the 30th to December the 1st in the space weather, and this is a prediction. And it's going to continue on through 2025. And so we're going to have these coronal mass ejections going to be directed at the Earth, and this is what Greg was talking about.
Well, there was a powerful volcano eruption in Japan. I sent that out on my
phone. And that caused that, because that's part of what that energy from the sun shifts into the planet, going directly into the planet, causing eruption. This is why Iceland is really having these volcanoes and earthquakes up there, because in that northern part of Earth, this is where the direct hit of the sun is hitting at. So we're going to see these changes coming about.
Right, right. So get ready, people, with fasting and meditation and awareness, consciousness, right? One last caller, 773-45, your mic is open. What, you have about 30 seconds. 773-450, your mic is open. Take your phone off mute if you want to speak.
This is Brother Obadiah. Grand Rise, hallelujah, greetings to everybody. I was just going to say I enjoy listening to the program tonight and I enjoy the positive energy that everybody's putting out there. We got to come together and do more of this fire camp, like candle lighting ceremony of sorts. Lighting your inner candle, lighting your soul candle. So you can be the light wherever there's darkness. You can bring something to the table. We, us and our, not so much of the world, me, mine, I. As a matter of fact, into the new paradigm, when they have war in the world, it just reminds us to put on our whole armor to protect our minds from all the craziness that's fading away with these wars and stuff. The new paradigm has absolute peace. There is no poverty of the spirit. There is no war. We don't hate on each other. We're not trying to kill each other anymore. So we need a new paradigm. I get so tired of looking at programs where people are killing that I hardly ever even watch TV anymore, sad to say, because there's too much true violence going on in the streets for people to be playing on TV, injecting that into the minds of other people. So I go with peace and the nine fruits of the spirit. I'm sure you all have them too. Let's do this. Appreciate it.
And Obadiah, I thought you had grown at this point. What do you mean you hardly ever? Who still has a TV? Please. All of us here, let's all realize
I was joking.
We were born for such a time as this. Let us be the love and the wisdom that this world needs right now. So tomorrow morning, let me just say, Zelda, our Monday morning host, has got a show, and she posted it here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Tomorrow morning, erroneous messages have guided our lives since birth. Truths are finally being revealed, the root of our dysfunction. What can we do about it? Brother Lionel Abdul is joining Zelda on Monday morning mindfulness tomorrow, cultivations at 7 Central Standard, 8 Eastern. Thank you, Zelda. And so everybody join in tomorrow. Let's continue this rising of consciousness, and more love, more joy is what we need right now to overcome the psychopath, egocentric warmongers right now. So let us be the peace that is so needed right now. Thank you all for joining me. Have a beautiful week. And we'll see you next.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jerit. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Love energy. So see you next time on the Female Solutions.